It's great to see you. Thank you very much for, again, being a part of our services here at Azalea City. Thank you for those who are here in person with us, and thank you to those who are visiting with us. If you are visiting with us, we want you to know that you are special to us. And I know that we are in some crazy times. Hopefully there's a light at the end of the tunnel to some of this craziness, if you will. However, we still want to get to know you. We want to be able to talk to you and get to learn more about you, and thank you for being here. So if you will, just kind of stick around and let us please be able to do that with you. If you're at home visiting with us, thank you again for tuning in. And I see new faces here today, and I'm thankful. Every week it seems that more and more are getting vaccinated or getting more comfortable and being able to come back. And for that, we certainly give God the glory. And so thank you for being here this morning. I do want to make mention of, I did not get to Justin in time this morning, but please add, this is relatives of Eleanor and Ray, the Dungan family. They lost their daughter, Angie. Again, that is Eleanor's cousin. She passed away from COVID, and so please remember the Dungan family in your prayers. Very sorry to hear that, and just wanted to get you to add that to your list. If you are visiting with us, as you can look around to my left and to my right, you see our theme this year is Elevate. Or if maybe you and I have been here together, we have talked about that theme, and I think it's a great theme. I think it's a theme that we ought to strive for. But I want to say that in order to elevate, we have to lower ourselves. And I don't want to be contradictory. I want us to understand where I'm going with that. You know, you think about in Luke chapter 15, as we learn about lost things in that story. There was a lost coin, there was a lost sheep, and there was a lost son, right? And that lost son, as we call him the prodigal son, he was pretty high on himself. He felt like things were owed to him. So he went to his father and he said, "Give me mine. I want my portion of the inheritance." And so, interesting to me in that story, the father, if that's what he wanted, that's what he gave him. Again, that's our father. You want out, he doesn't want you to be out, but he will allow you to be out. And so the son went and did probably what the father knew he was going to do, and wasted everything he had on, as the Bible says, prodigal, or some versions, unrighteous living. Well, it got to the point that the young man was hungry, joined himself, made a citizen of the country, and he was so hungry that as he was feeding and slopping pigs, he would gladly have eaten what those pigs were eating. And if you know anything about pigs, they will eat anything. And most of the time, it's all trash and garbage that you just throw out there, right? But he was that hungry. But it's very interesting in that story, and this is where I'm going with our elevate. In order to elevate, we must lower ourselves. Remember, when he went into the pig pen, he was pretty confident in himself, well, at least when he went to the world. He had money, he had power, he had all these things, but he got lowered, right? He lost it, and he lowered himself. But it was in the pig pen that the Bible says he came to himself. Well, how did he come to himself? He said, "I'm going home." But he didn't say, "I'm going home and getting my room, that is the room that is owed to me. I'm not going home and sitting at my father's table where there will be wonderful food every night." He said, "No, I'm going home and I'm going to beg my father to make me a servant." I believe with all my heart, church, that if we are going to be the church of the Bible, if we are going to be the Christian that God wants us to be, then if we're going to be elevated, we've got to lower ourselves and be the servant first that God desires us to be. Sometimes we get on our high horse, per se. We get too much pride about us. We get too much, maybe some pharisaical type attitude about us. And along the way, we forget that in order to elevate, I must first humble. I must first lower. That gets me to Matthew chapter 20. That'll be our text for the day. Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 20. I think it's a great story, and I think it illustrates exactly what I'm trying to help us understand today. Matthew 20 now, verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him. The him there is Jesus. With her sons. Now picture this. Mama comes in with her sons, James and John, right? Kneeling down and asking something from him, Jesus. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left, in your kingdom." Now listen to this request. I know mamas are proud of their children, and you should be, right? But here's this mom comes to Jesus Christ, who she believes to be the Messiah, that He's over the kingdom, obviously, the spiritual kingdom. She gets it, but she comes to Jesus and she says, "Here's my request, here's my wish, here's what I desire. I want my children in heaven to sit right next to you. One on the right and one on the left." Now let me say, that is a very bold goal. But Jesus' response really puts it in perspective. He answered her and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink?" In other words, are you about to go to the cross? Are they able to do that like I'm about to do it? And be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? They said to him, "We are able." Now he's talking to the sons, right? So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup." They were going to suffer. "You're going to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those who it is prepared by my Father." He's talking now about humility. He's talking about lowering themselves. And he goes on to say, or the Bible does here, "And when the ten heard it," that's the others, "they were greatly displeased with the two brothers." Now guess what they're going to do? They're going to argue. In other versions, we learn it says, "No, I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest." They're arguing among themselves. Who's the greatest in the kingdom? Of course, Jesus, in Matthew's account, brings a child to them and really humbles them, right? But here it says, "But Jesus called them to himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever," listen, please do not miss this. Here's the whole context of what I introduced this morning. "But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Do you want to be great in the sight of God? All of us should. There should not be anyone here who leaves here not desiring to be great in the sight of God. They wanted to be great. And I do not fault them for that. They just didn't realize what greatness was. They wanted to be recognized by Jesus Christ, by God. They wanted to be leaders appointed by the Master. Here's what Jesus said, though. If you truly want to be great, then serve. Serve. Jesus told them they needed to be diakonos. Diakonos. That's the Greek word that is used there for servant. Diakonos is the word where we get the English word deacon. There's another word here that they use, the word slave, really the same word. It literally means devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interests. Now let me say from the outset, we are surrounded, in my opinion, with wonderful servants here at Azalea City. Had someone tell me today, they said some really nice things to me this morning. And they said to me, I just want you to know I am here. And I am here to serve. Put me to work. I love that attitude. They had no idea I was going to preach on that this morning. Maybe they had some idea because they saw the picture in the bulletin. But that's not their desire. Their desire, because I know them, they are here to serve. And we're surrounded by people like that here. Men and women who are devoted to God and devoted to one another. Men and women who are willing to put others' interests, that slave word, far ahead of their own, the diakonos. You see, the kingdom needs servants. It's our duty. It's our calling. And it's our duty and our calling by the greatest servant who ever walked this earth, Jesus Christ. We sing this song. But I want you to listen to these words as I say them. Lord, make me a servant. Make me a servant, Lord. Make me like you. For you are a servant. Make me one too. Make me a servant. Do what you must do to make me a servant. Lord, make me like you. Now, I think we sing that song and it's a beautiful song. And sometimes we might get caught up in the melody and the harmony of it and all. But did you hear those words? Lord, do what you must do. Even if I've got to get in the pig pen. Bring me down. Lower me down. So that you will bring me up. Do what you must do to make me a servant like you. Now that's strong. That's a strong song. That's a strong plea. That's a strong prayer. My question is, are you ready? Because here's what we're going to do today. We're going to take the word serve. And we're going to come up with some points. And those points are going to make us, remind us of that song. Remind us of Christ's words in Matthew 20. Remind us of what Mark read to us from the book of Mark earlier in Mark 10, to that Jesus Christ did not come to be served, but He came to serve. And that's who we've got to be. So let's take the S. What's the S in the word serve stand for? If I truly want to be a servant like Jesus Christ, then I must seek Jesus and the kingdom first. Servants, they don't look for the least amount they can do or seek the kingdom second or third or fourth. No, servants seek Jesus Christ and the kingdom first. James wanted to be a leader. John wanted to be a leader. They wanted to be great in the sight of God. Their mother wanted it. The rich young ruler wanted to be a leader. He wanted to be great in God's sight. We should all desire that greatness. Now, James and John got there. They did great things in the sight of God. All the apostles did. Judas, of course, being the exception there. They did great things in the kingdom of God, but Jesus had to teach them a lesson in humility first. The rich young ruler couldn't get it. He couldn't give away all his possessions. Both wanted to be great, but only one group got there. I believe all of us today want to be great in the sight of God, but are we willing to do what it takes to get there? If we want to serve and do it God's way, then we must seek Him in the kingdom first. You know it, right? Matthew 6, 33, 31 through 33. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. In order to be a servant like Jesus, God and the kingdom must come first. First, right here, right? First day of the week. Jesus must come first. God must come first. Now, You know, when I pause like that, I try to think, should I say these things? But you know what? I'm going to. If Sunday school wasn't on my list today, you know, I'm not talking about those that like, man, I wanted to make it and something came up, maybe baby got sick or something happened or, you know, there are exceptions to that. But like, I know I'm not going to get up 1 hour early. I'm not going to get there. I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to do that. Now listen, I can't sit here and tell you there is a thou shalt go to Sunday school. There is a thou shalt, not really thou shalt, but there is a scripture that says if my heart knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. But listen to me, just hear me out on this. Am I truly wanting to be great if that's not even on my priority list? Well, Wednesday night, I know right now, if I know right now, I'm not coming back Wednesday night. There's no doubt I'm not coming back. Is that truly wanting to be great? Hey, either got to move you or move me. Right? What about tomorrow? What about Tuesday? What about Thursday? What about Friday? If I know right now that I am going to use a lot of profanity at work tomorrow, I'm going to talk about things I know I shouldn't talk about, and it's just, man, I can't wait to get to my group of buddies, and we're going to cut up, and we're going to be funny, and we're going to laugh, and we're going to be obscene, and we're going to do these things. If I know that's me right now, do I truly want to be great? What about at school? To our teenagers. Do I truly want to be great? Do I care more about getting likes on social media than I do about being in Sunday school and being a part of our youth group? I'm just going to say for a moment, and I know people are out of town and such. I appreciate Justin and Ashley. I appreciate what they do. You've heard me say, I was a youth minister here a long time. It's not their job to raise my children. It's my job. Justin and Ashley do a great job, but listen, if I don't buy into what they're doing, what can he do about it? Area-wide devotionals are great. We had one, maybe two, wanted to go last one. Just saying, I know that the shutdown's got us, but we need to wake up, church. We talked this morning about, this is off my notes, and that gets dangerous. So we talked this morning in class. Jason read to us. He's talking about the importance. Please listen to me, parents. We're talking about the importance of proving that the Bible is not full of alleged discrepancies. There are a lot of skeptics out there that are ruining the thoughts of our teenagers and our children and pulling them away from Jesus Christ because for just a moment of doubt, they're putting it in their heads. Jason read to us from an article that it took a girl 3 hours to disprove her faith on the internet. Now, I want my son and my daughter to be successful. I want them to marry successful people. But if you think my version of success is that they're famous and they make a lot of money, then we have different versions of success. I want my children to be Christians. And I want them to marry Christians. My children want to be here, but they do not have a choice. Now, you want to help our youth minister and our youth group out? By the way, it got to a point where I just would pray for our whole church before I broke into individuals. I started praying now back for our youth group again. Breaking it out. Because we've got to see it, parents, and I'm one of them. First at school, first at home, first in our hobbies, first on vacations, first at the ballpark, first in everything. Do you want your children to be great? I admire James and John's mother. I admire her. She got them to Jesus. She said, I want them to be great. Where's God right now in our life? Where is he right now? I know what's coming at my house. I've got to cut my grass. I know it's coming. My neighbors are doing it, and I'm already feeling some peer pressure. I probably should have cut it this weekend, but you know what I thought? Nah, I got other things to do. Got to do a little woodworking. Got to do a little other things. It's too wet. I made all the excuses in the world. I just didn't do it. But I know I've got to. I'll get around to it. Unfortunately, that's the way people look at Jesus Christ. I know church is important. I know I want my children to go to heaven. Let me tell you, I was a youth minister here a long time. And there are a lot of y'all out here today. And I'm proud of y'all. But it's not because of me, it's because of your mama and daddy. And because of God. I'm proud that those who are still in this area are still faithful to Jesus Christ. And some of them are serving as deacons and will be elders and wives and leaders and doing all those things. But I have had people come to me when their children were not involved in anything. And at a junior or senior in high school say, I want my child to get involved. Folks, it's almost too late. Not impossible, but almost too late. Let's don't wake up before it's too late. First means first. First means first. Not second, not third, not tenth. First. That's what it takes to be great. That's what it takes to be a servant. Secondly, eternity must be on our minds. Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. My grandmother lost her mind because of dementia. She would be in an assisted living home. And my mother and my aunt would go up there and they would see her. And it was a small place and they could hear her singing. Hold to God's unchanging hand. No matter how complicated or how simple our minds are, the most important thing in the world is to hold to God's unchanging hand. To think about eternity. To think about heaven. Oftentimes, though, you know what we do? Oh, I want to be great in God's sight, but I'm not willing to serve. You know why? Because we don't think on things eternal. We think on things temporal. Money is temporal. Justin, I'm so sorry Oral Roberts didn't. They busted your bracket, man. But sports is temporal. Hobbies are temporal. House size, car size, clothes size, thanks be to God, right? Are temporal. One day we'll all have matching bodies. Hope it's a skinny one. But you see, these things are not eternal things. Politics, thanks be to God again, are temporal. Our focus, if we truly want to be a great servant of God, must be things on things eternal. Elevate. Colossians 3, our verse, that is our theme verse, our passage that goes right along with this theme. Beginning in verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, I've been raised with Christ, you've been raised with Christ. If you have been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and all your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is also our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. How blessed are we, right? I think sometimes we're so blessed we forget where all our blessings come from. Today I just want to ask a simple question. Where's your heart? Where's my heart? Remember Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Are we focused on things that shouldn't really matter? Or are we focused on things that only matter? If I truly want to be great, if I truly want to serve, eternity and things that matter to God must be where our hearts and desires are. Thirdly, we get to the letter R, and I just simply have there the word remember. What are you talking about, remember, Terry? Well, let me say this. If you truly want to serve, you got to be like that prodigal son was in that pig's pen. You know what he did? He came to himself. You know what that means? He remembered. He remembered. Let me ask this. If someone does something special for you, do you remember it? Yes, absolutely we do. Someone bought you a car today. Would you remember them? If someone paid off your mortgage today, would you remember them? If someone paid off all your debt today, do you remember that person? If someone gave you, on top of all that, $1 million, would you remember that person? Oh boy, would we remember them. Yes, got that right. Melvin, I'd bake them pies and cakes and everything I could, man. I wouldn't ever forget them. It wouldn't have to, you know, sometimes students walk up to me and be like, Coach Cagle, and I'm like, I don't remember their names. You know, like, man, great to see you again, you know. I would always remember that person's name that did all that stuff for me. Right? In John 13, 1 through 17, don't have time, but you know, you're familiar, you probably know I was going there eventually. Jesus washes His disciples' feet. We often talk about Peter in the story, but today I want you to focus on Judas. I am going to read 5 verses of that whole passage. John 13, beginning in verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having, listen to this, don't miss this point, already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him. So Judas isn't like contemplating on it now. He knows that he is about to get 30 pieces of silver for turning Jesus Christ over. He's already planned it. Verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things in His hands and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside His garments, took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. It's an amazing story, really. Jesus, the greatest servant of all, about to be sold for 30 pieces of silver, initiated by a man who had simply forgotten. I believe Judas's biggest struggle in all of this is he forgot. He failed to remember what Jesus had done for him. Judas had been called to a new hope, a new life, a new mission, and he was called by Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus had prepped and trained Judas and the others to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. All along He was trying to change your attitudes to bring the kingdom into the world. But you know what? Judas forgot. He forgot what Jesus had done. Jesus has done way more than pay off our debt. on this earth. Pay off our mortgage. He's done way more than millions of dollars. He paid off the debt we owe of our sins. Have we forgotten? The V. I want you to think of the word virtuous. Our minds always go to Proverbs 31, right? The virtuous woman. That's Proverbs 31. And Mother's Day's coming up, and that verse will get referenced and used and all, and that'll be just fine. But in Proverbs 31, the account of the virtuous woman, she was so wonderful, her children called her a blessing and called her husband also. She was valuable. She excelled them all. She feared the Lord. She was a servant. The word virtuous has come to mean valuable or morally excellent. That's what we understand the word to mean today. And that lady was certainly that. But that's not what the word was originally used for. The original word used to describe her actually means strength, ability, wealth, and force. In fact, virtuous is more, at this time, a military-type word to explain the value of someone who is in the trenches fighting rather than in a castle barking orders. That's virtuous. That's being a servant. Jesus didn't come to bark orders and sit on a throne. He came to wash feet. He came to go to a cross. He came to get in the trenches and fight for the cause of God and the kingdom. That's virtuous. Today, do you want to serve? Then we got to get in the trenches. We can't sit on our thrones and bark orders. We've got to wash feet. We've got to serve. Finally, this morning, if I truly want to serve, let's let the last E simply mean we want to exemplify Christ. When it's all said and done, isn't that what serve is? We've got to portray Jesus Christ, the greatest servant of all. 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Christ. He came to suffer. He came to serve. He left us the example. How do we become great? We become like Jesus. Paul said it, didn't he? The Holy Spirit actually wrote it. But Paul put it in his words to put it in him to write, but Paul penned it. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He came in the likeness of man. And you know what he did? He humbled himself. He became a bondservant. And he was so humble that he was obedient to the point of death. Even the death of the cross. We are called to serve. We better seek first the kingdom. We better have eternity on our minds. We better remember what God and Jesus and the kingdom's done for us. We need to be virtuous. Be in the trenches fighting. We need to exemplify Jesus Christ. We sing it. We're pleading for it. We've prayed for it. Now's coming the point when it's time to put up or you know the rest. Lord, make us a servant. Do what you must do to make us a servant. Lord, make us like you. Today, He's ready to wash not just your feet, not just your body, but all your sins away. He's ready for you. He's ready for me. Are we ready to serve? If you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.